Wake up and I'm not so mad at Twitter now. Living sucks, but it's sucking just a little now.
Well, the YouTube viewers are going to be disappointed. Because they're discussing right now how Rob's office at Lambeau Field, which was visible briefly on the video stream.
Good.
Well, some believe he looked like he was calling from the Brown County Jail. But he doesn't have, you know, all the bobbleheads and all the junk that my office has. He once broke a cuckoo clock in my office, but I love him anyway, and I fixed it. It is the great Rob Domofsky on Will D. and Tosh. Rob, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm not sure what's more surprising, that I broke the clock or that you were able to fix it.
Yeah, fixing a cuckoo clock can't be easy. Like, it's delicate.
I will say this. One of your, I would say your, I'm estimating your third favorite listener, our friend Michael from Canada, DM'd me on Twitter saying that he could hear me on the YouTube broadcast when we were in break. So apparently, everybody in the world could hear me except for you guys. So quite the operation you're having there.
Yes, well, this is what happens here at Vandalay Industries from time to time. All right, I wanted to get to this. We've been trying to get to it all day, but as you probably know from having joined this show many times, we tend to get sidetracked from time to time. This is year 28 for you on the Green Bay Packers beat. So you have been there for the 1997 NFC Championship game in which the Packers beat the 49ers at Candlestick to go to Super Bowl 32. But we're using the playoff games starting with the Colin Kaepernick game, which I know we were there together for, as Colin Kaepernick ran all over the Packers.
Is that 2012?
Yeah. 2012 season, yes, sir. And then 2013, they lose at home to the 49ers in that cold, snowy game when Micah Hyde had a chance to lock up the win and had an interception go through his hands,
that
which he
cold.
Always beat himself up about. We know certainly then in the Matt LaFleur era, the 2019 NFC Championship game, which is also the last time I was on an airplane. The 2021 playoff game at home.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
You have not been on an airplane for any... I know you don't travel to road games, but you haven't been on an airplane for any reason since 2019?
Paula and the girls have gone on a couple of vacations without me. Maybe. I have not been on an airplane since we flew home from San Francisco after the Packers lost to Shanahan and the 49ers in January 2020.
Tosh, where are we taking your boy? We got to get him out of there was just a lot.
Rob, as you know, man, he is a stubborn old mule, and this is who he is. I am not trying to change. I've tried to give him like different things and ideas, and he won't golf. He loves his basement. The dude,
you know,
loves being in his basement.
I realize we're getting sidetracked here, but that's kind of what this show's about anyway. Jason used to have, like, I was like behind Jason in the priority, you know, like if you get upgraded and bumped, and I was always like, man, I'm never going to be able to get up to Jason's status. And now I'm like, Jason has no status. You're nothing. You have no status.
I do have no status. That's a very good description of me. Yes.
All right. So anyway, back to the 2019 all the playoffs.
Rob, where would you? You bring up an interesting question. You've known Wildy for 29 years, or probably even longer. Where would you and Hubes and Wes, where would you four go that Jason would actually go? Because I think you three would probably go anywhere, but our precious boy over here that doesn't like leaving the basement, where do you think you could – you're not taking him to Vegas. Where could you coerce him to go?
Mexico. Yeah, not Cancun.
Yeah, I don't think it would be necessarily a location that would entice Jason to go somewhere. I think if it was like, we have this group chat, and Jason can tell you the name of the group chat if he so chooses, but it's like, it's me, Wes, Jason, our buddy Darren, who covers the Cardinals, another buddy Darren, who covers the Panthers, and then a retired sports writer who used to cover the Cardinals as well. If somehow, some way, it's us, all, what would that be? Is it six of us, seven of us? if we were all getting together in the same spot, I don't think it would matter the spot. I think those would, are the people that he would go for. And those
people, I think you're right.
Yeah, we have a, like I said, I don't know if Jason's going to share the name of the group text or not, but it's something.
It's not the one that I had used. mine was removed because it was a little little longer. I know that comes as a surprise to you. A lot of words. Yeah. I do miss traveling. I would like to do that at some point. But again, that's not why you're here.
You and I.
Well, if you really like traveling, you could have driven to Chicago. I mean, it's a 2-hour drive like that. You could have went if you really wanted.
That's true.
Jason was scared. We were walking back Tausch from a night game. From the Superdome back to the hotel through the back streets of New Orleans. I think Jason was a little freaked out at about 3 a.m. Walking through New Orleans.
Yeah, he's a delicate little guy, isn't he?
He's a delicate little fella.
Delicate flower. Yeah,
you were scared too, tough guy. Don't give me that. Only one of us has been held up at gunpoint, though, so that's why
all right,
he
Rob,
went out on
I'm going to move the ball forward here. Is this
Now we're moving forward.
Well, yeah, you two talking about walking the streets of Bourbon. Well, you guys digi only that later. Rob, what is this a playoff game for the San Francisco? Because I have of the belief that the Green Bay Packers can fire a dagger into the chest of Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers and knock them out if they find a way to beat him at Lambeau on Sunday. You joining my club?
Well, no, because Arizona's in first place at 6-4. Like, if they were in a division where, you know, somebody was 9-1 like Detroit is, then I'd say, yeah, this might be the dagger. But, like, everybody in that division is 5-5 except the Cardinals are 6-4. So I don't really think a loss eliminates them. I will say this, though. If you can contribute to keeping them out of the playoffs, it might keep you in the playoffs longer if you don't have to play there. Because here's the thing. Packers, I think, I don't know if we're resigned to the fact that they're going to be a wild card, but reality is they're probably going to be a wild card, which means they might have to go on the road and play an NFC West team in a wild card game at their place. And if that NFC West team happens to be San Francisco, I think you'd be a little concerned. So I don't know that a loss knocks them out, but it certainly would contribute to the cause a little bit, right?
I would agree with that. I still think it's – I think you can dagger. I think this team is – they have played a lot of football, and I respect the heck out of what they've been able to do, but it's hard to continue to climb and do it. And I just wonder with the injuries and what's hit them if this couldn't be that knockout. But we'll find out whether that's the case and how healthy McCaffrey is and Bosa and everything else.
Yeah. You know what the funny – no, funny is not the right word maybe, but – in the 90s, right, they couldn't beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. And then finally the 96 season on the way to the Super Bowl, they didn't have to beat the Cowboys. Something similar this time where, you know, for LaFleur's three of his four playoff exits have been by the Niners, but maybe this year they wouldn't have to play them, and that might open the door for them. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a parallel there possibly.
Yeah, sounds like Rob, a good story for ESPN.com.
Is there anybody that LaFleur would like to beat more than Shanahan, though?
Yeah, I still wonder where exactly that relationship is. I mean, apparently he says they're fine and they're all good, but there was that one icy handshake right after the 2021 game?
The blow by.
Yeah, that was a Tom Crean blow by there on the handshake.
Just looking at where the standings are currently, if the season ended today, the Lions would be the number one seed. The Eagles winning the East would be number two. Arizona would be three. Yeah. Atlanta winning the South would be four. The Minnesota Vikings would be the five seed, and the Green Bay Packers the sixth seed. They would play the winner of the NFC West. So Rob is right on point with his scenario that he's bringing up there. And you can bet your...
Yeah, Chase, I still say of all the things that have changed in the league, I mean, from extra points to kickoffs to, you know, pass interference rules to roughing the quarterback, the one thing that I'm surprised hasn't changed is the division winner automatically hosts a playoff game even with a worse record. Like, I'm really surprised that rule or that seeding hasn't been adjusted. I mean, remember a few years ago, was it somebody at 7-9 hosted a playoff game? Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, I think.
Yeah. And yeah. I think they might have won the game, so maybe my argument's not very good. But it's just like in this day and age, like I'm really surprised that we are in situations where a 12-win team could have to go on the road in the first round of a playoff game, playoff round, and play a team that won 9 games or something. You know, that surprised me a little bit because this division play just doesn't even matter that much anymore because there's only 4 teams in each division. It's not like in the old days when you played 8 division games, it was half your schedule.
Right. You're right again. So, Rob, a lot of the things that we talked about yesterday, you were obviously with me at Jordan Love's Locker. We talked about a lot, but you know, much like he had downplayed last week his lack of practice and then kind of realized, hey, actually, I haven't practiced that much.
Yep.
He downplayed how much healthier he was in the game against the Bears. I'm curious for you, especially as you saw it live and in person, didn't he just look like a different guy? Didn't he look like the old Jordan Love on Sunday?
Yeah. I know he didn't, you know, they didn't rule it a touchdown on that dive for the pylon, but that to me, when he took off, he had a little burst there, right? Like, I didn't think, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think he even, maybe he doesn't even try that previously, but if he had, I doubt he even gets as close to the pylon. And it's not just like, you know, you don't, like he said yesterday, you don't, like, I didn't set out to consciously do that, but, like, your body tells you what you can and can't do. And obviously his body, when he took that first step and planted, his body didn't offer any resistance, and he was able to just go. So I think that's where, you know, it's not necessarily a conscious thing, but I definitely think that it does have an impact on, you know, what you do, because when you take that first step and your body resists, then you're just going to seize up and you're not going to do it. So I think the fact that he was just, you know, able to cut it loose and do that probably means he's as healthy as he's been since maybe before the opener.
And this goes back to the conversation we've had about the importance of practicing and being sharper, and also the guys around him. Like, I'm wondering, when you have a game like this, where the offense only, you know, they only run 46 plays, Jordan Love only throws 17 passes, I know I've had people ask me, well, what's going on with Jaden Reed, or what's going on with Tucker Kraft? Well, yeah. Okay, but there's only 17 passes to go around. I think 6 of his 13 completions were checkdowns to running backs.
Right.
What do you feel any differently about where I feel better about where this offense is, not worse, don't you?
In the sense that Love is healthy, yes, but in the sense that you know, you're, what were they, 1-for-5 on third down? I mean, the 5 thirds down. I mean, how did they only get 5 third downs? Like, I mean, the Bears had some long drives, right? So
right.
I don't know what was time of possession. I don't remember what it was, but I'm assuming
37-23.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So part of that lack of offense is on the defense, isn't it?
Right.
Almost all of it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Then that's kind of what I was thinking, but. Tausch confirmed it, so that's what I.
Rob,
so I'm with you, Jason. I don't know that there's great concern about the offense right now.
Yeah, I think there's more concern about the defense. And what do you make? We discussed this week the first round picks and some of the disappointment. But where are we at with Quay Walker? What's your evaluation say?
Well, the evaluation says that come May, the Packers don't pick up the fifth-year option on him and probably don't pick it up on Devontae Wyatt either. That's not to say that they're not salvageable and that there's not a chance that they could go into that fourth year and be a productive player that earns a contract extension. But at this point, you'd have to say that you're disappointed in him. And, like, I don't know, is it the old, he was a better fit for the old scheme thing, or is it just that he never quite got better like you had hoped he would? I still think there's something there, based on his athletic ability, and I think at this point time's sort of running out, even though he's still relatively young in his career.
I know you get confused for Lucas Van Ness all the time around town because you guys look so similar. But when you look at his game, how do you view the fact that Brenton Cox, since we're talking about first-round picks, and we'll probably get to Eric Stokes next, but how do you look at the fact that Brenton Cox played as much as Lucas Van Ness, and there are no signs that he has taken a year two jump?
No, I mean, that just tells you that what they think of Lucas Van Ness at this point and how much he could or could not help them. So it's interesting, though. Like, did they just play Brenton Cox because, you know, Preston Smith wanted out, and so he was the next guy up, and then he had an early, you know, early play or the early sack in the game on Sunday, and therefore, like, they said, all right, we're going to ride him? Or did they go into the game with that as a scripted play?
Great pass, question.
Right? That's the thing, you know, and I think that part of that would tell you what they think of Lucas Van Ness if we knew the answer to that. Like, if the plan all along was that they were basically going to play equal snaps or thereabouts, then that tells you a lot about Lucas Van Ness. If the plan wasn't that, but they decided to ride the hot guy, and that was Brenton Cox, then, you know, I think that's a little bit of a different story.
All right, so Rob, I know you talked to Jair last week for your story about the four remaining players from the 2019 team.
Yep.
And you mentioned to me that he said, you know, maybe that suspension was what I needed. And now here we are again talking about Jair and not understanding it. And look, you and I are cut from the same cloth. There are others that have done this job. Like, if I'm going to write something negative about somebody, I'm giving them a chance to talk. And so in Jair's case, I'm really struggling with this because it feels to me like he is the guy that if I'm not 100%, I can't play.
Yeah.
And so when you look at where he's at, what do you think about his situation?
Yeah, I think you prefaced the question to, I think it was LaFleur yesterday, or maybe it was Monday. I would never want to question, you know, a guy's willingness to play hurt or however you said it. And I think you're right. Like, I mean, only the player knows his own body, right? So, like, I just think the problem that they ran into Sunday was that he obviously thought he could go, so therefore they used one of the, you know, what do you get, 48 active spots on game day. And when he couldn't go, he could have left them in a real bind had one of the other corners dropped out with a new injury. But it didn't, right? So they were actually fortunate there. But, you know, they would have been really in trouble if Carrington Valentine or Keyshawn Nixon or Stokes or whoever, you know, ended up dropping out of the game with a new injury, because then now you're really thin and you didn't activate Robert Rochelle for the game because you had Jair Alexander. Like, that would have been a big problem. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Jair just is at the point where, you know, he just isn't able to stay healthy, or, like you said, maybe I don't know if he's not willing to play unless he's completely 100%. I don't think that's fair to say that, because we don't know. But the bottom line is, what has he played in about two-thirds, maybe not even two-thirds of the games over the last 3 years or so?
Yeah.
Like, that's just hard to, you know, I know he's missed like mid-20s games over the last few years, and maybe it's going back to the shoulder injury in 21 or whenever it was. But, like, at some point you got to say, look, I mean, can we go this way, or do we just, you know, have to say, look, he's a really, really good player, but a little bit like the Aaron Jones thing, right? Like, he wasn't able to do it, so we have to move on.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, I know you're going to head out to practice. I don't know if they're staying outside with the snow that we got up here or not. But when you look at Sunday, what are you expecting to see happen at Lambeau Field at 325?
Yeah, I mean, look, the 49ers are obviously reeling. Now I saw, you know, George Kittle says he's playing. We don't know about Bosa. I think last week's game might have been, like, for the Packers, a decent little wake-up call. You know, you win the game, but, you know, it wasn't pretty, and maybe you were a little sloppy coming out of the bye week. And I would suspect that they're going to be a lot sharper this week, even though they might be playing a little bit better competition. So I would expect them to play better in all areas of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's I don't think that they can completely knock the 49ers out, but they can definitely help themselves and boost their own confidence against a nemesis by getting this win on Sunday. All right, Rob, I will see you over at Lambeau Field in a little while. Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
That is the great Rob Domofsky as he heads out to Packers practice here shortly as the Packers get ready for the 49ers on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Tausch, one question that I thought of while we were talking, because you brought up Quay Walker. You know, Nick Perry is the one guy that I remember who didn't get the fifth-year option and then had a really good fourth season and then got a big contract. I don't have any evidence that makes me say that that's going to happen with Quay Walker. And I'm trying to figure out what happened with Devontae Wyatt, because he was actually playing really well before he hurt his ankle. And now that he's come back, is that just one of those things? I mean, again, you didn't play defensive line, but I think you have enough insight. Like, you come back, you miss time, you're not 100%, and it's hard to recapture what you were doing before you got hurt?
Well, you get a little rusty, and you also aren't 100%, and how much you trust your ankle, and... You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. I think if I'm a gambler, I look at it, I would bet more on Devontae Wyatt than I would at Quay, because you know who Quay Walker is at this point. So the real question is, if you decide you're not going to pick up that fifth-year option, well, what are we doing? What are we doing? It'd be like you're dating somebody for 10 years and you tell them, you know what, we're never getting married. All right, so what are we doing? Do you stick it out another year and then just say deuces B? Or do you just say, let's just go deuces B? And that's where you have Edger and Cooper. The Packers
are very
deliberate. And Lord knows they'll probably draft and bring another. You just don't know. Because when you make those decisions, you're making projections about what your roster is going to look like. Now, you can upset the apple cart. It's been done before. You just made a great example with Nick Perry. But if that's the road you go down, you're pretty much showing your blueprint for how you're going to move forward. And then do you play a guy on a lame duck deal? Normally I say, yeah, you go ahead and you do that. But when you're talking about young players, it's a little bit different than if it's someone at the back end of their career. So it's going to be it'll be an interesting way to see how the rest of this season plays out and then how that affects what Green Bay's thinking. But you said it, they drafted, let me look here, a linebacker 91st, a linebacker 45th in last year's draft. That tells me, better see more from old number 7. And I don't know if we have. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we have it. And that's kind of reading the tea leaves. That's right. Just another thing to kind of watch as this season continues to unfold.
And they didn't pick up Eric Stokes' fifth-year option, and now look at what his season has looked like. We thought they might trade him in training camp because of what you just said, and they didn't.
You did bring that up.
All right, I do want to get Tausch to finally answer the question that he asked because we got sidetracked with my travel or lack thereof. The most gut-wrenching loss to the 49ers.
It's a very easy
answer. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.